Normally, when we walk into a store, we see price tags on every product. And those prices don't change in front of our eyes based on other items that we've picked up. But researchers in the Walton College of Business at the University of Arkansas have found out that that could change.
So sequential pricing is, in essence, where a seller is setting the prices on products in a sequential manner after they observe how buyers are interacting or making their selections.
That's Carrie Deck, professor of economics and co-author of a new study. The study shows the use of sequential pricing as opposed to simultaneous pricing could increase profits for retailers. Think about if you're shopping online. A consumer clicks on an item. Whether or not they choose to purchase that item, the store is able to record information about that consumer and their preferences. Based on that information, the store can then set prices on other items the consumer might be interested in. It makes sense for an online retailer, but how will it work in a physical bricks-and-mortar store? As Jean Elijas, professor in the Supply Chain Management Department, formerly of Information Systems, says we'll have to train customers into thinking that it's no different than online. He says this is the neat part.
And RFID, and this was Carrie's idea, provides the ability for a retailer to monitor a customer and to learn things about their preferences by observing their behavior. Now, previously, a lot of research and practice has been focused on retailers monitoring inventory. So this is a slight new twist. So we're taking this technology, which has traditionally been used behind the scenes, and we're putting it into a customer-facing technology.
But specifically, how will it work? Here's Carrie Deck.
So you might have like a smart shopping cart, and so as you're going through the shelf, the RFID tag just shows you on your display, oh, these items are this. You might think about them telling you things about, recommendations for other items that you might like, maybe sourcing information if you're concerned about what the carbon footprint of this product is, right? I mean, they can do all kinds of information more tailored to you. And so, potentially somebody who picks up this kind of a product may want to know about the carbon footprint of the things that they're seeing and looking at the store. Someone else who's doing this may want some other form of information about it. And so you'd be able to tailor information. You could think about automating, displays in the store, music. There's really no limit to what you could do.
Essentially, once that information's there, the store can do whatever they want with it. Elijah says there's a notion of what customers are willing to accept. It's an implementation issue, which they didn't really provide the framework for in this study. He says sequential pricing will work better in some stores with certain products than in others.
All right, so some prototypical examples would be books, because you see this all the time. On Amazon, for example, you're going to get discounts for books, you're going to get free shipping, you're going to get other means of prices changing on you. So that would be one little example of where people are, I believe, already conditioned to accept a change in price. Carrie, would you agree on that?
I think books is a good example in where you might see this kind of thing, because if you think about what happens when you decide to look through a book, it tells the seller that this is a topic or an area that you're interested in. And so the mere fact that you've selected this book and put it in your shopping cart, or that you've spent the time to flip through it, tells them something about the types of books that you're going to like. And so now when you see a different book, they have a better idea of whether or not that's a book that you really are going to like, or it's a book that you may not like. And so what they can do is say, well, we have this high price on these books, but once we know that you probably don't like it or are less likely to like it, we can offer you a coupon to induce you to come and purchase it.
Whereas somebody else who the seller believes has a high value for the book, they don't have to offer them the coupon. The place where sequential pricing has the most value is where buyers have a positively correlated value for two goods. If I like one book, then I'll like the second book. It will also work where products are close substitutes, say one pair of jeans and another pair of jeans. Maybe it's the fact that it's springtime, but I wanted to know if it would work in a home goods store, a place like Lowe's or Home Depot.
So if you're buying, say, a weed eater product, that's going to tell Lowe's something about the types of projects that you're currently working on, the level and kind of the power rating of what you're looking for. Are you looking for industrial strength things? Or are you looking for something kind of light to do easy work around a small patio or something, right? Once they know that, that adjusts, you know, what they expect the other items that you may be looking at, what you may purchase.
So it will work in a different situation. This for complement goods. As Elijah's mentioned earlier, RFID technology is already being used in a lot of large retailers for things like inventory control and loss prevention, all behind the scenes, which consumers don't see. So when will we be able to see this, the use of RFID technology in sequential pricing?
And this is where it's almost free to then start using it for customer-facing applications. And that's what I really find exciting about this research on the pricing, because this is a way that we can take this technology that's already in the store and then use it for another application. And comparatively speaking, the cost is going to be relatively low.
Larger retailers will be able to implement more quickly and easily than smaller stores, but the technology will eventually become less expensive. Elijah says the tagging of individual products is one of the most expensive parts, and if the suppliers did the tagging, the cost would be lowered. So at that point, when all retailers, large and small, have the technology to do sequential pricing inside the store, what does that do for competition?
So I think the competition story is really more, what does competition do to this? And so actually we have a follow-up study where we look at what the impact of competition might be. And so what we actually find is that while the ability to do this type of sequential pricing is profit enhancing to the seller when they have kind of a monopoly power captive audience, once you introduce the competition, the ability to implement this is greatly weakened.
The seller has to set a price on the first product to segment those that have a high value for the product and those that have a low value for it. Then they use that info to set prices on the other items. If you're competing to get customers inside the store, you have to have a lower price. You're getting less segmentation and less information about who has a high value and who has a low value. If things were priced as low as they could, there's no information to gather because everyone will buy it.
Dependent upon what the competition in that particular market looks like. And so the degree that people are price sensitive, that they're comparison shopping, that there's alternatives out there, it's going to limit the amount of information that a seller is able to extract.
Elijah says that this idea of targeted marketing, engaging with the customers in the store, is huge. He says it's almost the holy grail of retail.
You know, when you think about it, this has always been the case. You know, 2,000 years ago, I'm pretty sure that when someone walked into an open-air market, the guy who was trying to sell stuff would take a look at the customer, try to get a feel for what they might like, and then maybe engage in a little sequential pricing, so to speak, right? But now the big difference, and once again, this is Carey's term for it, so I'm going to quote him, it's all about scale.
All of a sudden, you can take this notion that has been around forever and take it into the context of modern retail, automate it, and suddenly it's an option for everyone. It's like having omniscient presence with eyes and decision makers all over the store.
Now that's just mind-blowing to me.
Carey Dack and John Elijahs are professors in the Walton College of Business at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville. Their study on sequential pricing was published in the journal Information Systems Research. It can also be found online. This is Ozarks at Large.